Okay, hello everybody. Welcome to the study group. It's the 4th of June. I've prepared a lesson which is called How to Be a Good Seer, Even in Adversity. So it's how to be that we are being led by the Spirit, that we can learn to let the light shine and to be able to enhance each other's good vibrations. So I want to start with scripture in Alma. And that's in 31, verse 5. And I have to tell a little bit of the situatedness. It was a time of great excitement and sorrow. That there was a lot going on. This one also. Sorry, we have an acoustic problem. We will, because I have an echo of my own voice in the guitar, and we are kind of sensitive people. Yes. So this is better. It sounds better. So, and this really caused for a lot of fear and contentment. And so he went to pray and so he bowed. Let's
see. Could you repeat the scripture again?
Yeah, that's Alma 31, verse 5. So it's the whole thing is about fear and love. I'm learning that it's all about two forces. That's understanding and love. Remember the precedence among you. Also, I'm thinking about the sealed book. But let's first read this. Lisa, would you read that verse?
Yes. And now, as the preaching of the word had a great tendency to lead the people to do that which was just, yea, it had more powerful effect upon the minds of the people than the sword or anything else which had happened unto them. Therefore, Alma thought it was expedient that they should try the virtue of the word of God.
Great, thank you. So now let's go to 3 Nephi 1, verse 13. Okay, would you read that, Jeannie?
Yes, so verse 13, 3rd Nephi 1. Lift up your head and be of good cheer, for behold, the time is at hand, and on this night shall the sign be given, and on the morrow come I into the world, to show unto the world that I will fulfill all that which I have caused to be spoken by the mouth of my holy prophets.
Thank you. Any comments?
That's kind of a joyful scripture.
Must have been quite the relief to hear this.
Well,
it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was such a calm and rest was emanating from, especially to show unto the world. So that everything up till then was has been happening a lot, you know. It's been enormous. And the pressure is the pressure is on, you know. We feel it every day. That the sword is cutting both ways. So if your discernment is growing, the pressure is also growing. So now let's go to Doctrine and Covenants 112, verse 24. If did anybody say, is, yeah?
Did you say 34?
No, 24. 112, verse 24. Okay, two verses. I will read this too. Behold, vengeance cometh speedily upon the inhabitants of the earth, a day of wrath, a day of burning, a day of desolation, of weeping, of mourning, and of lamentation. And as a whirlwind, it shall come upon all the face of the earth, saith the Lord. And upon my house it shall begin, and from my house it shall go forth, saith the Lord. And then, Bauke, would you do verse 4?
Let thy heart be of good cheer before my face, and thou shalt bear record of my name, not only unto the Gentiles, but also unto the Jews, and thou shalt send forth my word until the ends of the earth.
And now verse 26. Yeah, you too.
First among those among you, saith the Lord, who have professed to know my name and have not known me, and have blasphemed against me in the midst of my house, saith the Lord.
Thank you. So now the last one, and then we will discuss. That's in the sealed book of Moses, 5, verse 24. So maybe, Michael, you will read that?
Yes. Sealed book of Moses, chapter 5, verse 24. There shall be among them a Moses like unto me, who shall bring forth the words of this book, and of others which shall be jointly sealed to this, to complement the essence of the truth, which hath been hidden in the midst of the scriptures of prophets of God, which formerly lived on this earth. And to this Moses, who shall read the words of this book, he shall be given understanding of all things concerning knowledge hidden in these words, which were left unto me by God.
Thank you. So, to show, he has come into the world to show that all the scriptures are fulfilled. That's in 3 Nephi 1. And here, it says, concerning understanding of all things, concerning knowledge hidden. So, wow, how can you not be of good cheer? Because this is what's happening all the time. Nobody seems to want to know new knowledge. This is what Bauke and I come across a lot. And first, we have to understand why this is the way. And that's why I also wanted to read Doctrine and Covenants 112, because this is something I first did not understand very well, that we first have to go to Jesus, his own, the people who professed to be his sheep, who have the Book of Mormon and all the special privileges of the gift of the Holy Ghost and so forth. So, and I have come to know that the only way we can be of good cheer is that we can know through the gift of the Holy Ghost the difference of the knowledge. And here it says to complement the essence in the midst of all the scriptures. How can we, this is my question, how can we not be of good cheer if we have the Holy Ghost confirming these scriptures? Because it will be hard sometimes, but if we don't have the scriptures to understand, and if we put in the effort, we will never have the peace of the knowledge of the truth. And why it has to be hidden, and some other things have to show. Because this is what people often don't understand. Why the sequence? Why on this timing? Why is this the most urgent thing to be talking about? Why is this the most interesting thing to be talking about? And then you know that because of the not to have the foreknowledge, people will not understand. But we do know because we have the Testament of the Book of Mormon, and now all the scriptures. So, what do you think, brothers and sisters? Why do we have to have still all this knowledge hidden? Why is it important to hide knowledge sometimes, even in your own family, or it's not the best timing to say things? What do you think, Eden?
Palm, can I just make a quick comment? Talking about this, it reminds me of, I'm starting the Book of, can you hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah.
It reminded me of the story of Lehi and the importance of obtaining the brass plates. Because without that, those records, without that knowledge, the people would perish. And so even though it was a small group of people, they made a great sacrifice to obtain those records. And it seems like, remember his brothers, but Nephi said, I will go do the things which the Lord hath commanded me. And of interest to that is that when Nephi strive to fulfill the commandments of the Lord, he received a promise also that he would be blessed. And as also Lehi sought for that knowledge, he was then blessed with the magnificent mercies of the Lord, and he was warned that he and his family should depart out of Jerusalem or that they would perish. And so I think what strikes me with your comment is that this knowledge is essential. And that with this knowledge, you can receive the inspiration of the Spirit and be guided and warned for the protection of yourself and your family and loved ones. That's kind of my thought about the importance of this knowledge. But as to remember, his brothers rejected this knowledge. And then Nephi used many different techniques to try to get his brothers to come along. And then Sam did come along, but not Laman and Lemuel.
Thank you. I think that's very interesting what you say, is the action is the best prayer thing. So if, and you, it's also so beautiful in the Book of Mormon that at the time of the reign of King Benjamin, they came into contact with the Amalekites, and that caused the whole Renaissance period for teaching. Probably, it's my humble opinion, and it's also why maybe Jesus points at how King Uzziah was teaching, and what we need to know for basics to be able to use our own agency. So I think that's a very powerful point. And for me, the learning to listen to the spirit and the sensitizing of the gifts of the spirit has a lot to do with timing and acknowledging the other person, his speed and situation, which need to be addressed in the knowledge also. So if I talk too much, I'm not interested enough in the person sitting in front of me. So I think the whole thing is what Bill also means to say is the peace comes afterwards, after being tested, like with Nephi, that we really have to act to feel the peace. So if we will show the people and try to be good examples, we will have the spirit with us. That's the whole thing. It's the only way, because the spirit testifies of all those three things. We have remembered, maybe you remember, the Jesus, the Father, and truth. And truth is not a static thing. It's developing. So it's unfolding the glory of the gospel.
Yeah, okay. You mean you can add to the truth. Yes. Truth is truth, right?
Yes.
Truth is not but it's not changing.
It's not changing.
But it's, you learn more about truth as you go along.
Right? Absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the only way we can recognize these hidden things, by testing them and putting in the effort that we know in the adversity, that we know the adversity is coming. That's natural law. Good, Bill.
Harm, I that gets me thinking. I just returned from a business trip to California. And when I arrived in the airport, a police officer came in to report a stolen car had stolen from one of the rental agencies. And I, as I was interacting with people down there, there's a sense of really pushing hard. I talked to a woman in the store. She said, it's very cutthroat down here. When you're driving and paying attention. But the point is, I'll refer back to Lehi.
What's with that?
Just a minute, Justin. The people had, the Spirit of the Lord had ceased to strive with the people. And they had imprisoned Jeremiah the prophet, and they had sought to kill Lehi. And so he was forced to leave the land. And so I just want to suggest that perhaps we're dealing with some of these conditions here where the Spirit of the Lord is being withdrawn. And people, I'm dealing with another issue, a legal issue, where the people are just like enraged, kind of. It's just like a kind of a rage that these people, and I believe it's because they have lost the Spirit of the Lord. But where I was going with that is that I also, when I got on the plane coming home, I met a woman. She lives in Missouri, and she believes many of the same tenets that we do in this group here. And I was just taken back by that. It's like, and she said, I recognized you immediately as someone who understood the truth. And so I made a point of sitting with her next to her on the airplane, and we exchanged ideas. What she has, what she's trying to protect her family, and how she's trying to get out of the system, get out from underneath the because it's going to collapse. The Lord has told us it's going to collapse. So it was really interesting that people are awaking by the Spirit. And she told me how she had experiences as a child with the Spirit, and this has led her to the point where she is today. So she's aware of and listening to and seeking to follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Yeah. Very good. I'm having the same kind of, I was always thinking, I'm really like intellectual reading and with music and all the things. But we both have the experience of the feelings are intensifying, and also the other side. So that's also why I quoted the Doctrine and Covenants that it is speedily, you know, the lamentation, the mourning, and it can be so much and exhausting that I speak for myself now. I had trouble going to the LDS people, which are my brothers and sisters, after they said that they wanted to have a meeting without us, and I was a little bit. I was thinking, okay, you go ahead for a while. I have a lot in my mind. It feels unresty, but now, when you grow in the foundation, in your calling, or the whole idea, this is the most important thing to have on your mind. And we went for the first time. Can I say it?
You say
it. We went to the church today, LDS, and it was testimony. We didn't give our testimony, but some people we talked. But you really have to be strong, brothers and sisters, because yeah. it's really part of the whole thing. Because I didn't think I was so bad, you know, when I was in that church. But now I'm growing in this testimony of the second invitation to listen again to Doctrine and Covenants 112. First among those among you, say the Lord, who have professed to know my name and have not known me and have blasphemed against me in the midst of my house. So we were listening to this older brother who said, give me testimony about the sacraments, about the bread and the water.
Oh yeah, because they're teaching about the Last Supper during Sunday class today.
Yeah.
John 10 to 13, and so he talked about the sacrament.
Yeah, but now through the new revelations, I am studying what enormous profound knowledge. We begin to grow in our mission, and we have to grow in love for the people of the first invitation. And we have to be knowledgeable. And we have to expect that they will not be so happy. Be so good seer. And we were like, really, yeah. We were feeling great.
Yeah.
And to sing, I miss the singing and the togetherness. Of course, we miss that. No, we love these people. But also important to go away from feelings. If you can't understand them, if you can't be at ease. We even left at the general conference in Paliasa. If you don't feel right, you have to feel better and then go ahead. So everybody has their own balance to find in these matters. So for me, I've come to know that we have to really keep up the lights, you know, really like physically. That was also something I didn't understand. It's also in the revelations to be proud.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, but wait a minute. What's that? And then you need another to be that you could feel proud. But I'm learning. We have to learn to be proud and to also to be able to testify. And if you testify, I will testify that if you testify, you will get the good feelings also. Because the elements, like it's so beautifully described also in the Niemann Hall records, the elements will testify of this truth, this eternal truth, to the elements of the person which is in front of you and of are the people. Because it's not created, the truth is there. It resonates. We only have to find the right feelings. And then it will show. Then the hidden thing, which is on the inside, will be felt. And that will show, like when you're in love, it shows. Mm-hmm. People can feel it. So, Jeannie, what do you think? I see you smiling.
I just, I'm grateful for the topic of your lesson today, you know, how to be of good cheer, because we are in the adversity part. I like the question that you asked, how can we not be of good cheer if the scriptures are there with the knowledge that's in there? And as we grow through our knowledge, we can pull more of those hidden things out. And then I think the biggest question you gave was, why is it that people don't want more knowledge? They read these scriptures and they don't see the hidden things. I've had people tell me, you know, or other people have said they've shown the sealed book to people and they go, there's nothing new in here. And it strikes me as, how could you read that and not grasp the stuff that's in there that just seems to jump out at you? And so why are people afraid? But Harm, you picked out Moses, sealed book Moses 5. And I was reading this morning, sealed book 5. I was reading specifically 34 through 37. And I think if we were to read back over 29 through the end of it, along with what Harm just gave us, this is a difficult time. And how do we guard our hearts? That was a topic somebody had talked about giving a lesson. Why is it important to guard our hearts? But it's like Harm said, you get to a point where you just sort of have to back away because there's too much going on. And that's guarding your heart. It's hard to talk to people who say there's nothing new here, or they don't understand, or we even among ourselves are like, okay, I think that what I heard last week and now what I'm hearing this week is confusing. And how do I handle that? So each of us, I think, are at a point where we question. And is it wrong to question? No. But what do we do with those questions? I just think, Valkia, you even said it in your prayer. Be gentle with us, Lord, because we're learning. We're trying to put all of this together. And I think in the bottom of our hearts, all of us desperately want to know how to go forward with being closer to the Lord, realizing we're just puny little humans and make mistakes all the time. And we get hurt. How to be strong. Bill, I'm curious how that lady said, I recognize this in you. What do we show to the world around us, even without saying anything? I don't know, you guys. I think I'm grateful for all of you and what you say and do. So that's why I was smiling.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's so important, and I really think we only begin to learn to have these good feelings all the time, to vantrauen, what is that? To
not trust.
Not trust your doubt. That you doubt your doubts.
Right.
You know, that we really learn to grow in faith. And faith precedes that miracle. And if you really wanna, you know, I'm thinking about the inner and the outer light also, where J.J. Hurtak in the Keys of Enoch talks about we need to be in the similitude of our Father through the example, follow the example of our Savior Christ. And I was, maybe that's interesting to throw in. This week I saw a very interesting thing about the Olmec people. They have a mirror on the chest, and I never thought about it like that. But that whole similitude, and what the brother Jean-Paul Brett talked about with the star signs and the Gemini, the whole mirroring, that we're always mirroring. I was saying, wow, I understand for the first time. The whole water thing, that we are symbolically we die and are raised again in that, from that water, which is symbolic for life, the living water, the water that has memory. It's very interesting if we wanna go for the peace. And because if it's in, like it says, it's in the middle of the whole plan of salvation is the peace.
Mm-hmm.
If do you act from out of a peaceful feeling, even if it's hard, that you still can love the guy who's making mean remarks, or that you're feeling the conversation is getting nasty. That you want to go away. We have to really learn that to be able to spread this gospel, because it's great. And I really miss that sometimes. You know, that great feeling, because people don't get it, but they don't get it because they don't put the effort in. For me, with the showing and the hiddenness, that it's on the inside, that God can see the heart. We can't see the heart of people, but you can feel that somebody is getting cranky, or that this not the spirit is not there. You know, so I come to realize that we have to be of good cheer, as because we have to deal with this invitation to these people who profess to know my name and have blasphemed in his own house. That you really, what you said the other time, Jeannie, about the orphans and what we talked about with the tiny eyes, that's really hurting the Lord, that we don't put our first things first. Mm-hmm. What is this strange... Everybody's busy with their own house, their own garden, their own. Seek out the widow and the orphans, and that is a hard thing for people. But we only have to try me with this, that he would not open up the heavens. He always gives a. He never leaves us alone, you know. If you do what he says, he will bless you. But you have to try, and you have to have some faith to try the word. And we think with words, people. We think with words. It's amazing that we have these words. And these, how can you not read the Menha records also? I'm reading it again. How can these people not read this? This is unbelievable, great stuff. If you love the book, walk a moment. Okay.
Why is it? Why do people not want more knowledge? How do we, when we're discussing things?
Then they need.
What?
Then things change, and if people get more knowledge, then things change. And nowadays, people don't want things to change. They want things to stay the same, like they are used to.
They're coping all the time.
It's a hard world out there. So if even your church, which you have always said in testimony meetings, I know this church is true, like they say a lot here in the Netherlands. I don't know if it's also common in other countries.
It is.
It's a mantra.
People go say, I know this church is true. And
good sounds.
And if that is not the case, then everything crumbles. You know, at least this church is true. I know that. So if someone comes along with new knowledge and says, there are a couple of things that are missing or not been handed over right, then people are smiling and thinking, whatever.
They fear their foundation is not.
Sure.
Exactly. So how do we make them feel safe and open their minds?
Well, that's a good question, Jeannie, because that's the only thing we have is the word. We have these beautiful words of the golden place, and they testify of these eternal truths. And they're here in this verse. It's so plain to see, to complement the essence of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why Jesus comes to show. That's what's so hopeful, I think, because he already came, you know. He already came, and this is extra testified of in all these beautiful scriptures, which is popping up all around the world. And it's not only the sealed book for me.
Right.
But this is the most important one. And this is what we have to understand, because this is what we, the only thing we have, this is the only, tools we have. Because it's part of the plan that we have to go to his own.
And I've struggled with that. Like, why are we told to go to, because they want to strip you down and chew you up and spit you out. And yet in many places it says, go to your own. And Mauricio is implementing things that at times I say, well, that sounds too much like LDS. And I thought we weren't LDS. Like, we are LDS and we're not LDS. And it goes crazy in my mind. How do we sort it out? And then in the first revelation there, it talks about how important it is that the structure of the church be right as the Lord presented it. He's bringing the original church back to, so it has to be the same, but different. And then you try to explain that to somebody and they just look at you like you have no brains. And I have to leave the conversation. I don't know. This is a really big stumbling.
Because they have no foreknowledge.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we really have to appreciate the whole plan. And for me, this took a long time to really, and I'm still struggling with the method, how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to, I'm in Massachusetts right now, and it's an interesting part of the country too, where people just, they're, just very, very caught up in the world and very harsh. And, people here have gone through, everybody goes through issues, but I recently have encountered a couple different people that have been alcoholics, and they have found Christ, and it's been great. Like, I have just been like, oh my gosh, I just want to talk to them, because they're on fire. You know what I mean? They're just like loving Jesus, and they're, I love that, And this one individual I was going to talk to today, they were like, oh, I'm going to my, you know, my AA meeting. And I'm like, that's awesome. And it's been interesting too, for them to share how people have judged them a lot and like, don't even want to really have anything to do with them when they say that they've been an alcoholic, you know? And I'm like, this is awesome. That's a great program that you're going to it. And so I was telling this gentleman, I said, well, I have a Zoom call and I refer to it as I'm a recovering Mormon. I said, so this is like, and he laughed and I'm like, I go, no, really? I said, I'm so grateful I have this group of people that I can talk to, you know? And so they were just like, he was laughing about it. And I said, but you know what? I think all of us, or well, those of you that I know personally, I think, Michael, I don't know you personally, and Bill, but like the rest of you, I know somewhat. And that's the same thing. I feel like I'm still in this whole thing of like, what's really going on here, you know? Cause it is hard. It's like we have, you know, and I kind of briefly explained to him that I'm not part of the, you know, mainstream of the church, but I still believe in the Book of Mormon and, you know, and so, and he goes, well, this is fascinating and I want to hear more about this and whatever, but, yeah, I'm just seeing that my battery's about ready to die here. I have to be in a certain part of the house to get reception. And anyway, but I guess my point is that, you know, Jeannie and I spoke and we kind of said the same thing. Like we see this stuff that Mauricio's doing and I kind of go like, oh, that's like the LDS church. Like, wait a minute, you know, but God is a God of order, right? And there has to be some order, right? We have to have some kind of way that we organize this so that we can, but like a couple of people that I've shared this sealed book with, they have the same, you know, they believe in the Book of Mormon, but they know that the LDS church has gotten off and things aren't going, you know, correctly. And, you know, they love their buildings more than they love the poor. It's very clear. They just keep building more and more temples and more and more temples. And what are they really doing to help the poor, you know? But they also are feeling the same thing too. Like, you know,
ordinary people can feel it. Everybody can feel it.
Uh-huh.
I think that's something we begin to realize now, that it's part of the whole second invitation, is being able to cope with these feelings around uh-huh. us. And it's part of the molding of our character. Mm-hmm. And it's hard. You know, you have to think about it, ponder it, mm-hmm. and you think the only way. It's always been like this. Like what Bill earlier said, it's always been an exodus and people going away, and then you have to go back because you needed that, and then you go. You know, people who Boutje writes in her diary every day. Of course I want to be like that, but I don't know if I'm really gonna get there. But if we can see the talents and the gifts of spirit, nobody mm-hmm. gets all the gifts, but we can grow in faith. And that's really changing if you learn to appreciate the whole thing, the whole plan, the whole timing thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where we're all indebted to brother Pratt, the magnificent creator's clock. Wow, what a title.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we really learn to see it like that in everybody's clock, and for me it was like opening my heart again to the ward where we went for all these years, and oh, look at this, all these lovely little people, these children, come here, children. Good songs choice, by the way. We're children, we're learning.
Mm-hmm.
But it's part, really a part. the whole thing. So I'm like okay with the what I've try I can be able to communicate. Is anybody else want to add something? Valera, you didn't say.
Oh yeah, Dan.
Maybe you want to add something.
The whole time you've been talking, my mind is going over the things I've been reading by Annalise Guerin.
Oh yeah.
And it all boils down to us having gratitude in our heart 100% of the time, no matter what is happening. And that really hits me hard. And it's easy when things are going okay. But when something disrupts that, and the first thought is you want to complain, I want to say it out loud to Dan. Dan is the receiver of all my complaints. And
we're praying for you, Dan.
I know. Pray for him. And when I was reading her book and she was able to tear the veil of this, of our remembrance, it made me realize that we have to put ourselves in a state of gratitude for our vibration to be raised, for people to want to come to us, maybe with just questions or maybe just to say, I want to be your friend. I don't know, because I've had a hard time since I've left the church, going from such a big organization and being part of everything and feeling part of everything to nothing. And the friends that I thought would at least read the sealed book rejected it completely. And that was a shock to me. And it took me a while to get over that of the, you know, not making it personal, but just making it about their commitment to what they think is right. And so this is my new thing. Every day I wake up and I say a few mantras of, I am going to be grateful for every single experience that is handed to me or I'm part of. And I haven't been perfect. It's only been a week. And, but I always think to myself, the words that come out of our mouth have a frequency and a power that affects tons of people around us. And you don't even realize it, but it affects everyone. And I thought, why waste words of discouragement or words of disenchantment on something that can affect people when all I want to do is help? And so that's my new thing, is I'm trying so hard to be grateful for it, because I wanted to come here. I chose to be here on the earth at this time. And I need to be grateful to Heavenly Father for granting me what I wanted. And that's where I'm at. This was a great lesson. It just keeps reminding us that we don't know it all. Mm-hmm. And that the traditions of where we've come from still try to sneak in there and affect the way we think. And watching the binging on The Chosen again yesterday. It was a weird day, but I sat there just cried through the whole thing thinking, let go of tradition. And if some of the LDS ways are right, then so be it. God is in control. He's the one. I think we just have to put ourselves in a state of gratitude for everything. And even the friends that have hurt me deeply, they don't even know they've hurt me. By their reaction to all this, I had to let all that go and forgive them, because we're all on different, I can't say one's better than the other, but we're at different places with this journey. And I got to stop judging those who are not in a state of mind where they want to know more. Mm-hmm. To me, it comes natural to want to know, what is this? What is all this about? Why are we here? What are we trying to achieve? And I have to realize that not everyone thinks that way, and there's different factors involved, and I just need to stop judging them, because I don't want to be judged. And so that's where I'm at. But I love this lesson. It made me think of a lot of things, and I appreciate all the time that went into it. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
And thanks, Valera, for that. That's actually what Jeannie and I were just, right, Jeannie? Jeannie and I spoke earlier in the week, and our whole thing was gratitude. I even texted her. So I'm like, yay, we're on the same brainwave. Yay, Valera.
That's cool.
Because I even texted her. I said, you know what, Jeannie, let's just focus on gratitude.
Yeah.
Let's focus on being grateful for everything. Because
Every single thing. Yes.
Yeah. Because it is the highest level of vibration. And when you're grateful, you cannot have fear and you cannot have anger. When you're, yeah,
It's like the most beautiful state to be in. And yeah, so thank you for that.
I wish I could remember this scripture from Job where it says, all things that he feared had come to pass. And I just thought about that. Like, we just need to like fill our hearts full of gratitude and love. Mm-hmm. And that dissipates fear.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing. When you're in a state of gratitude, you can't be angry and you can't have fear.
And you just feel so much love. So much love.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll add a little thing. I was thinking about Jesus quoting the Old Testament, and he quotes the most of Isaiah. So that's where who connects everything. If you don't learn to appreciate Isaiah with the timing and the Book of Mormon and everything, and the other one is the Psalms. So that's only about the right frequency, about the repetition works. And we have to remember that in a new way, with the knowledge of the sealed book, about the feelings. If you are feeling thankful, remember the thankfulness, the counting of the blessing. Then you come to a point you want to sing. Mm-hmm. So, and if you sing, then it has a physical effect also. So it and you have two kinds of songs, the one going up and the other. Even Bob Dylan said that one goes up and one goes down, you know. So you have and if you can't feel the spirit, sing a song that goes down, then you feel even more low, because he promised to exalt us, but low is the way. What's his name? Billy Preston, the black guy with the Beatles. He's a great gospel singer. But this is what we talk about, the exaltation through the low feelings. Also give them a place, and then try to lift each other up. But sometimes we have to be low together and weep, and that it's hard, but it's worth it. So thank you, everybody. Anybody else want to make a final? I think we're okay, but then I go back to you, Jeannie.
All right, thank you, Harm. I'm going to stop the recording. Don't anybody go anywhere. Let me...